Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In years to come, future generations will ask, What was it like to celebrate Easter in lockdown? Answers will vary depending on individual circumstances. For frontline medical workers and other key workers, Easter in lockdown would have been a time of great risk and sacrifice. For patients in hospitals or care homes suffering from coronavirus, Easter in lockdown would have been celebrated with staff and carers who, for all their love and compassion, would not have been able to make up for the absence of close friends and family. For those coming to terms with the death of a loved one or another kind of loss, a cancelled wedding celebration, a house that was never moved into, a job that was never taken up, Easter in lockdown would have been marked by grief and confusion. For the majority of us, Easter in lockdown would have been spent at home, huddled behind locked doors, or, for the lucky ones, in gardens. The closest thing to wider social contact being a polite smile to a stranger during a daily exercise walk. Put this way, Easter in lockdown seems synonymous with risk, fear, absence, grief, confusion, disappointment, and loneliness. And yet, that is not how Easter in lockdown has felt to me so far. Throughout this surreal, strange, socially distanced Easter, there has been a heartbeat of prayer and worship keeping us going, bringing us together in new and fresh ways, enabling us to open up our homes to worship and to join together spiritually, even whilst we yearn to be together physically. In the midst of this great time of suffering, there have been flashes of joy. None greater for us at Holy Trinity Headington Quarry than when we got to sing Handel's Hallelujah Chorus together last week, which is one of our Easter traditions. It was different to be singing this individually in our homes or gardens, but a powerful, life-giving experience all the same. Music, like prayer, has the power to bind us together even while we are apart. Historians need not look only at the year 2020 to build a picture of Easter in lockdown. Our gospel reading, which we hear each year on this low Sunday, paints a similar picture. The group of disciples are huddled behind locked doors. They are lonely and isolated. They are living in fear and confusion. They are grief-stricken, especially Thomas, who at first has not had the good fortune of a physical encounter with the risen Christ, as had the others. Looked at in this way, our current experience of Easter in lockdown seems not so far removed from that first low Sunday. Yet, back then, as for us now, there were many flashes of joy. The joy of hearing these words of the risen Christ three times in case they could forget, "Peace be with you." The joy of receiving the transforming power of God's forgiveness, a power that enabled Peter to move from devastating denial to powerful proclamation, as we heard in our reading from Acts. The joy of seeing with their own eyes the evidence of Christ's bodily resurrection, seeing his scars and knowing that in spite of all the hurt and harm the world can inflict, God's love is stronger than suffering and death. The joy of knowing that God's grace always breaks through our times of doubt and fear, and that faith is not the absence of doubt, but rather, as Thomas reveals, the desire to follow Christ even in the midst of doubt. For all these reasons and more, during this first Easter in lockdown, the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. I expect that 2020 will be remembered largely as the year of this terrible global pandemic, the year we spent Easter in lockdown. But I hope that historians also note another anniversary that has been marked as best it can in the circumstances. 2020 is the 250th anniversary of the composer Beethoven's birth. Musicians across the world had been gearing up to celebrate this with a year of concerts and other celebrations, now largely cancelled or postponed. But it is fitting that Beethoven's anniversary falls at this time. Beethoven struggled through the isolation of complete hearing loss to compose one of his most famous works, the Ode to Joy, from the Ninth Symphony. A work that resounds with joyful, God-given, human creativity. A work that points us to Easter, a time when sadness is turned to joy, when isolation is turned to consolation, where fear is turned to hope, and all the more so when we celebrate it in lockdown. In our church, we often turn to C.S. Lewis for inspiration, And his book, Surprised by Joy, reminds us that although joy is often intertwined with great sadness, joy always breaks through in the end. Joy, Lewis writes, provides a road right out of the self. We might add today, joy provides a road right out of self-isolation. Although Ode to Joy has not yet been performed in a concert hall during the lockdown, it has been recreated through various digital platforms. One project, organised by the National Youth Orchestra, saw many of us singing or playing Ode to Joy from our doorsteps, balconies, or windows on Friday evening, conducted virtually by the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra's director, Marion Alsop. I joined in from the vicarage porch in the rain, playing my clarinet for the first time since I broke my shoulder earlier this year. It really was a flash of joy for me after a great deal of pain and suffering. In years to come, when future generations ask, "What was it like to celebrate Easter in lockdown?" I hope they will see and hear some of these digital odes to joy, and note that our locked doors could not block the joyful spirit of Easter emerging in 2020, just as locked doors could not block the movement of the risen Christ to those first disciples on that first low Sunday. As we continue to mark Eastertide in lockdown, may the risen Christ break through the locked doors of our homes and hearts, bringing us peace, transformation, and joy. Amen.